This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Circular shaped unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And it's Saturday night, so that means that I am back, and truth, medicine, and politics. Truth is medicine when you think about it, because we are lacking truth, especially in the media. We can't believe our leaders. We can't believe what we see on television. It's gotten to the point where I personally have to take almost everything with a grain of salt. So every Saturday night, we try and bring to you the truth, people that you may not hear in the media that you need to hear. And that's very true for tonight, because my guest tonight is Mr. Jim Mars. Now, Jim is an award-winning journalist. He is a prolific writer. In fact, his 1989 book, Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy, was a New York Times bestseller, but it was also the basis for the Oliver Stone film, JFK, which most of you have seen. He's written several other books. I could spend half the show listing what he's done. His credentials are incredible. But we're going to focus down tonight on his latest book, which is Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. That's an incredible title. Population Control. So I know that I've heard this for a while, where people are saying that our population needs to be reduced to 500 million. I've even heard 100 million. But we're gonna talk about this tonight to see if this is really true, if this is something that we should be concerned about. Again, my guest tonight is Jim Mars. And Jim, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Smith. Glad to be with you.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you staying up late with us, because I know you're about 2 hours ahead, and it's not easy to do these interviews late at night, but I think it's so necessary for people to hear your voice and hear what you have to say. Now, this book, Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us, are they literally killing us? Is that just a slogan to sell books, or is that really true?
Unfortunately, that's not a metaphor, okay? It's really true. They are killing us through just every means possible, through bad air, bad water, bad food, stuff they're putting in the vaccines, stuff they're putting in medicines. In fact, it's incredible, but according to the AMA Journal, the third leading cause of death to Americans, behind, of course, number one is heart disease, heart attacks. Number two is cancer. Number three is conventional medical treatment, okay? We're not talking about illegal drugs or drug overdoses. We're just talking about conventional medical treatment. So obviously we have a problem going on. And what it comes down to is, I think, exemplified by the Georgia Guidestones, which is this mysterious granite monument in rural Georgia that was put up very mysteriously by a guy who gave his name as Christian, but he admitted that wasn't his real name, so we don't really know who paid for this. But it is seen as a working template for what they call the New World Order. New World Order basically is a cabal of very wealthy individuals who collectively would like to see the world totally controlled and governed by a socialist government that they, of course, would be in control of. And the number one admonition of the Georgia Guidestones is maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Well, now that all sounds real good, But that begs the question, what are they going to do with the other 7 billion of us? Because right now there's 7.5 billion people on this planet. But you can go back and you find people, for example, General Maxwell Taylor, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and who ran the Vietnam War there towards the end, and also, of course, was White House Chief of Staff to Reagan. And he said back in the 70s that in the next century, well, that's now, he said it's necessary to reduce the world's population, mostly in third world countries, using methods such as disease, starvation, and regional wars. He said, quote, I have already written off more than 1 billion people. The population crisis and the food supply question dictate that we should not even try. It's a waste of time. Well, that, and he is followed up by many other people, Ted Turner, Bill Gates, Henry Kissinger, and they all say pretty much the same thing. And Dr. Smith, especially worrisome, is the words of John Holdren, who years ago, along with the Ehrlich man and wife team, authored a book called Ecoscience, Population, Resources, Environment. And in there, Holdren writes, many of our colleagues feel that some sort of compulsory birth regulation would be necessary to achieve control over population growth. One plan, often mentioned, involves the addition of temporary sterilants to water supplies or staple food. Doses of the antidote would be carefully rationed by the government to produce the desired population size. Now, you could write that off as kind of the ramblings of some wild-eyed academic, except today, John Holdren is President Obama's science czar. And this is who has the right arm of the president and is telling him how to handle all the various problems. So as you can see, we have a real problem with these people in leadership positions who truly believe that there's too many people in the world and that we're going to outstrip our food supply. And this is a real major problem, and we have to reduce the population.
But is that really true, though, Jim? I mean, we hear this all the time that we're running out of oil, we're running out of food, we're running out of resources, there's nowhere for people to live. But is that really the case? I mean, this is a big planet. And
very big planet.
It's very concentrated in terms of the population. So is that really the real reason why there's supposedly a need for population control, that we're running out of resources?
Well, I think at certain levels they've certainly been sold on this idea to the extent to where, well, here's the words of Prince Philip, okay, who is a ranking New World Order luminary, okay? And he said, and is publicly quoted as saying, in the event that I'm reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to solve overpopulation. So, see, he wants you dead. He really does. He wants you dead, and so do most of these people, because at the very beginning, going back into the late 1800s, the whole idea got going that we need to, we need to clean up the dirty ring around the gene pool, that there were too many people and too many lower class people, people that we don't really like. And in fact, by the mid-30s, in the United States, most of the states had eugenics laws on the books. If you didn't come up to their standard of skin color and IQ and muscular distribution, all like that, you were liable for involuntarily sterilization. Now, what happened was is that although this eugenics movement got started in the United States, the first big chairman of the eugenics movement was Mrs. E.H. Harriman, the wife of the railroad tycoon Harriman, who, along with John D. Rockefeller, you know, got control, was one of the top corporate giants of the late 1800s. And so it all started here. But then in the 30s, it was picked up by the Germans, particularly the Nazi Party. And they were big into eugenics. You know, they thought they were the supermen. Everybody else was Untermensch and had to be eliminated. And so they carried eugenics to its logical extreme, which is we have some groups of people here in this society that we don't like and we don't think they fit in. So we'll just kill them, okay? And so we see how that turned out with World War II and the Holocaust. But those people that started that, that funded the Nazis, were encouraging them in their racial attitudes, are still running these multinational corporations. So they really believe at the very top, and at least certainly the people under them are led to believe, that we have an overpopulation problem. But I don't believe so, and here's why. Number one, people don't understand how big the state of Texas is. If you start from the Louisiana border and drive to El Paso, that's east end of the state to the west end of the state, that is equidistant as driving El Paso to Los Angeles. That's how big Texas is. And you go drive through West Texas, and it'll take you all day, and if you're lucky, you'll see a tree. Maybe not quite that bad, but pretty close. There's just miles and miles and miles and nothing. In fact, most of the western United States is still very population clear. So the problem, and then not only that, but in my book, Population Control, I quote from the Oklahoma Chamber of Commerce, who said that the entire 7.5 billion population of the earth could live comfortably enough in the state of Oklahoma. Now, if you want to spread out, you could all live in the state of Texas. But still, it might be 1 acre to everybody. So if you really wanted to spread out, the entire population of the world could live quite comfortably in the continent of Australia. And we'd probably all have several acres apiece.
So is room for people. That's just not true that there's no room.
It's not true. The problem is, Doctor, is not that we have an overpopulation problem, but we do have a population concentration problem. We have people, and most people are now, they've been run off the farms, so now they're living in these big, sprawling metropolitan areas like L.A. and Chicago and Houston and Dallas and Philadelphia, We need to spread out. If we'd all spread out, and we could do this if we would utilize the technology that we have available. The Japan has, I think, like 10 or 12 of those magnetic-railed high-speed rail lines. They move people back across the Japan in a matter of minutes at high speeds. In this country, in modern America, we have one, and I think it goes from Boston to Washington or something like that. That, we need to spread out. We need to give everybody some breathing room. And because what they found, for example, and I'm sure you're aware of this, is that when you put a certain number of rats in a cage, they basically get along. But as they breed and as they become more and more and as the cage becomes crowded, then trouble starts. And pretty soon they're fighting with each other, and eventually they'll even end up cannibalizing each other. So when you cram people into these cities, you're creating problems.
My guest tonight is Jim Mars. His website is Jim Mars. That's J-I-M-M-A-R-R-S, 2Rs.com. We're talking about your newest book, Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. If you want to call in, the number is 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KABC. So, Jim, if that's the case, if there's enough room, what about resources? Are we running out of oil? Are we running out of energy and food and things of that nature?
Well, let's look at oil for a minute. Of course, the standard idea is that we're at peak oil, okay? And this, of course, was propagated by a man named Marion King Hubert back in the 1950s, who looked at the rate of production, oil production at that time, and predicted that by the year 2000, we would reach peak oil production. And after that, it was only going to be less and less oil available. And he saw that by, 2010, the price of gasoline would be $100 a gallon. Well, wait a minute. That didn't happen, did it? In fact, in 2011, 2012, oil production set all new high production records. So that's just not true. Now, the idea that we're running out of oil, if anybody tries to sell you on that, give them three words: back in rock formation. The Bakken rock formation, that's B-A-K-K-E-N, stretches underground under Montana, North Dakota, Saskatchewan, and a little bit into Manitoba. And this is a undrilled, underground petroleum rock formation full of domestic oil that has been discovered but not produced. And the experts say that even at increased rates of consumption, that the oil under the Bakken rock formation could last us for more than 2,000 years, okay? So there's no shortage of oil. But I'm not advocating drilling more oil, and I'm certainly not advocating the latest controversy over hydraulic fracturing, otherwise known as fracking, because we don't need any more oil. We are choking ourselves to death with the pollution that burning fossil fuels is creating, and we need to go to other technologies such as hydrogen, solar, electric cars. They had electric cars in the 1920s. Surely we could produce in the 2010s a better electric car. And they're working on it, and they're working on it. I have a friend who has one of these new hybrid Priuses, and he was in Mexico, and he was stupid and didn't fill up his gas tank, and he got caught out in the middle of the Mexican desert with running out of gas, and there were no gas stations. But since he had an electric Prius with those four electrical motors, he said he turned off all of his electrical stuff, lights and radio and air conditioning, rolled down his windows, and he was able to go about 100 miles just on the electrical motors in his tires, and he managed to get to a gas station. So there are ways of doing things. We're not talking futuristic technology. We're talking about off-the-shelf technology is available today if our corporate leaders would allow us to have it.
So we're told all of this stuff that we don't have resources, that we're running out of everything. This is propaganda then. We're just told this to get an agenda off, because what you're saying is there's plenty of oil. Sounds like gasoline should be about a nickel a gallon based on what you just said. And
it should be, actually. Yeah. Except I do advocate keeping the price of gasoline up, because we're using too much gasoline for too much. In the big cities where everybody's jammed together and you got, 10 million people in a city, there ought to be high-speed public transit, clean, swift, energy efficient, and we can have it. We can have it. For example, I remember reading about at the end of World War II in Berlin, and the city was bombed into rubble. And then hardly anything was functioning, but people were still trying to get to work. They had a bus that they would pull into the barn at night and essentially wind it up. They had big springs, and they would wind it up, and they had some magnetic devices on the wheels to give them a little extra oomph. And then after they had this bus wound up, it would run through the whole day, stopping and starting and making its little bus run. And all, of course, those Germans are great making wind-up toys, so they made a wind-up bus. Now, if they could do that as far back as World War II, why can't we have some non-polluting, efficient technologies in our big cities? One of the things I advocated years ago, and everybody laughed at me, was I said, why don't they just, in the big cities, inner cities, now Los Angeles is a little bit spread out, but some of these other big cities, and you could do it there too. You just put out public bicycle racks with bicycles on them. And if you're wanting to go 2 or 3 blocks or 10 blocks down the way, instead of trying to burn gasoline in a taxi cab or trying to put your car on the road, just grab one of the free public bicycles, pedal it down there, get off, leave it there, go on. When you come out, look for another one. To me, that's a way of cutting down on energy and cutting down on pollution. And plus, it would make for a healthier
People would lose weight, that's for sure.
Public, right? And the thing is, apparently, I noticed in Fort Worth, I noticed these bicycle racks, and I looked for the thing that says you have to put money in it, and I didn't see anything. So apparently in some cities, they're already starting to do that.
That's right. Well, the one thing that strikes me about your book, and I downloaded your book on my Kindle, and it's a very, very ambitious. And what I mean by that is that some of the things that I've done is focusing on the controversies in big pharma and government and the DEA, FDA, et cetera. But your book basically is outlining every ill we have in society. I mean, you talk about vaccines, you talk about chemtrails, you talk about all these things. So my question is, if we have all these things that are literally killing us, Why is it not killing the elites or the globalists or the Illuminati or whatever you want to name or whatever you want to call them? Do they have access to technology because that we don't have? Because if we look at something like chemtrails, where we're, and I think more and more people are starting to realize this is a real thing when you're doing soil testing and seeing the barium and aluminum in the soil that's off the charts from what it should be in the photographs that we have. Why is it that other people, those people aren't getting sick? One thing I want to add to that is that my director of the film, Sasha Nezev, and I, we talk about a lot how the White House or the presidents, vice presidents, the basically Washington politicians never seem to die of cancer. Whereas when you look at the general population, virtually almost everyone is getting a diagnosis of cancer before they die. So do they, because they're being exposed to all this, do they have technology or antidotes, so to speak, that we just don't have?
Well, number one, yes. I truly believe they do. But then also they know. See, at certain levels, they understand. At the level of these corporate executives, for example, not long back, a friend of mine in South Texas was involved in the sale of a very big-time expensive yacht. And he said one of the Rothschilds flew over from Europe to Texas, apparently was interested in perhaps purchasing this yacht. He said when he came and flew in, he brought with him his own food and his own water. He wouldn't eat or drink anything that was available publicly in Texas. So, number one, they understand, and they watch what they're doing. Let me quickly tell you the story of Walter Scheib. Walter Scheib was the chief White House chef during the Clinton administration and partially into the George W. Bush administration. A couple of years ago, a food magazine published a big article, and basically they were kind of taking the presidents to task for not eating, you know, as healthy as they should. And I think it was primarily aimed at Obama, who I think the mainstream media has pretty well said that he has a penchant for hamburgers and fast food. And so Walter Scheib wrote this lengthy letter that they published in the food industry publication that said, well, that's not necessarily true. He said when he was the White House chef for the Clinton family, that Hillary Clinton had a garden, her own garden, on the roof of the White House, and had ordered him to only buy locally grown produce and from farmers markets and non-GMO and only organic food that she would serve to her family. Now, this is really, really interesting for two reasons. Number one, Hillary Clinton, who we now know, of course, is running for president, is huge in favor of GMOs. Some of her leading campaign people are former Monsanto executives and public relations guys, and she's all in favor of GMOs for us, but see, she didn't eat that for herself. Now, the second thing is that after Walter Scheib wrote this big article and pointed out that Hillary Clinton, ordered up only organic food and would not eat the GMO or the non-organic food, he went hiking and disappeared and for a time and then was found and apparently slipped and fell and drowned, you know. So his name is now added to, I don't know, 50 or 60 people along with Vince Foster, many others who somehow mysteriously died during the political career of Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I remember his name. I thought that was the guy that somehow drowned, and I think he was in his early 60s and seemingly in good health.
Right.
My guest tonight is Jim Mars, jimmars.com, and that's with two R's. The book we're discussing is Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. And we're going to take a quick break, Jim, but this is great, great information. We'll be right back in a few minutes. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
So
circular-shaped unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
Hi, this is Chip Wade, DIY expert, TV host, and lead designer for WadeWorks Creative. I recommend prioritizing your budget on the items that you use the most, like your kitchen appliances. The Home Depot can help you upgrade your kitchen this spring with smart appliances that save you more than money. With a great selection of name brand appliances like GE, Maytag, LG, Samsung, and more at low prices delivered free to your home. It's all possible at the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com/appliances for details. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing.
Here's a twist on wiring outdoor lights from the Home Depot. Don't wire them. Instead, get a six-pack of New Hampton-based solar-powered LED pathway lights for just $17.98. Less than $3 a light. Solar means no wiring. Pop these along a walkway and let the sun do the rest. You'll be on your way to a beautiful evening. New Hampton Bay outdoor lights in bronze or black. Six for just $17.98 now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. The Home Depot has found a way to put more grill on your patio with less cash from your pocket. The Huntington 2-burner gas grill with side burner for just $119. You save $20. And you get a rust-resistant cast aluminum cook box with a 10-year warranty, a handy side burner, and enough cash left over for a nice thick ribeye or two. Bring on spring with the Huntington 2-burner gas grill, just $119, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Val and Connell, U.S. only. See store for details.
In that neighborhood, it was almost impossible to get what we could afford. So I had set up alerts on Zillow to say, if anything in this area ever comes below a certain price point, it just popped up one day and I was like, oh my God, we have to go see it. It's a really wonderful neighborhood. And then to add on to that how wonderful the house is so cool.
Home means something different to everyone. With millions of homes for sale or rent on Zillow, whatever home means to you, Zillow can help you find it.
Now through May 3rd at Smart and Final, Foster Farms fresh chicken drumsticks or thighs are only 79 cents a pound in the family pack, limit 4 packs, and Farmer John fresh, never frozen pork spare ribs are just $1.89 a pound, limit 4 packs at Smart and Final, warehouse and market, friend and neighbor.
Hi, it's Alan Gervey.
And I'm Carrie Kasem.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice?
Then tune in to Gervey's Law Saturdays at 2 when we open up the discussion and tackle difficult issues in law and life.
That's right. You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Gervey's Law is that anything that can go wrong can also go right. And we go at it with some of the greatest legal minds in the country.
It's the intersection of law and life. Don't miss it. Saturdays at 2 right here on Talk Radio 790 KAVC.
Don't miss Fletcher Jones Motor Car Spring Sales Event with new low lease payments going on right now. But hurry, this incredible sales event is over Monday at 8 p.m.
Fletcher Jones Motor Cars, Mercedes-Benz, Newport Beach.
Call 800-214-0953 for details.
circular-shaped unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And I am back. My guest tonight is Jim Mars. It's jimmars.com with two R's. Jim wrote many, he's written many, many books. He wrote the New York Times bestseller The Crossfire, the plot that killed Kennedy, that was used in the Oliver Stone movie that many of you have seen, JFK. But we're talking about his newest book, Population Control, and how corporate owners are literally killing us. And we've talked about the bad, we've talked about the bad food and some of those things, the GMOs, and how you just mentioned how Hillary Clinton's or the Clinton's ex-chef revealed that they are not eating the food that most people are eating. And then he mysteriously turns up drowned after apparently hiking by himself for some reason. So, Jim, I had asked you before we went to the break, that observation that we made when we were making the first American Addict film, that it doesn't seem like we could find any president or vice president or really very few senators or any Washington politicians, I mean, in history, that have died from cancer, whereas the general population, almost everyone is getting cancer. Are there cures to cancer, in your opinion, that are completely being suppressed from the population?
Yes, I believe so. But I'll tell you, I think it's even more simple and even broader than just cures somewhere. All the way back into the, in fact, in my book, Population Control, I go back and note that Dr. Warburg, back in the 1930s, was given a Nobel Prize because he determined that cancer cells cannot grow, cannot survive in an alkaline environment. They can only grow and thrive in an acidic environment. Now, what this means, and as a doctor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you eat a lot of sugar and a lot of breads and pasta that transforms into sugar in your system, then your system becomes acidic. And particularly if you have an hereditary inclination towards cancer, then you're a grade A number one cancer candidate. We also know that there's cancer cells in all our bodies. We all have cancer cells. The people who have problems are when their cancer cells get out of control and their immunization system can't handle it, and that's when they begin to grow and cause all kinds of problems. So basically what I'm saying is, if Dr. Warburg was correct, and he seems to be since he got a Nobel Prize, then if people would simply lay off the sugar and start watching their diets and watch the kind of food that they put into their body, then they could probably cut down a lot of this cancer. But, you know, look at what's going on. Doctors are trained to be allopathic, which means they're trained to give medicine. And so they're not going to tell you to eat better. They're not going to tell you to eat more vegetables. Oh, they might, but it'll just be, you know, in passing. And instead, they will tell you what the AMA and the people who are making all the money off of cancer tell them to say, which is you need chemotherapy, which, while it may in the short term kill off a few cancer cells, it's also disrupting your body's immunization system, which means that eventually it'll probably all come back or that it may not even work at all. In fact, in my research, I find that usually the people who have very serious cancer problems and try to take care of that with chemotherapy generally don't last more than about another 5 years. So if you're really serious about fighting cancer, I think that we need to start listening to and paying attention to and working with the people who truly understand what causes cancer, which is basically a breakdown of the immunization system of our bodies, and that's caused by a lot of the external environment that we put ourselves in.
Now, you know, again, in your book, you are covering pretty much everything that is killing people in our society. Again, the chemtrails, vaccines, medication, bad food, et cetera. But here's one concern that I have. You know, when you look at, there's a website called worldmeters.com, I believe. And if you go to that website, they have like a running tally of who's dying in the world and who's being born. And it's just a constant number. And they say that our population is still growing at about 1.3% per year worldwide. Now, I know in the mid-1990s, we had reached a peak. I think it was a little bit like double that amount. But are they not doing a good enough job? Because the world population is still growing. Are they not doing an effective job in getting rid of people if the end game is to reduce the population to 500 million people?
Well, I think they view it in exactly the terms that you just said. That's why they're stepping up their programs of, they're dropping stuff on us from the sky and the chemtrails. They're putting all kinds of GMOs that are disrupting our genetics in our foods. They are, everything has sugar in it. Obesity now is one of the leading problems in this country. And it didn't used to be, because people used to, number one, get exercise, and number two, eat nutritious foods. But see, I'm old enough to remember when I was a kid in the 1940s and the 1950s, we ate locally grown food, and most people ate their food at home, prepared, by housewives and by their mothers. And it was only started in the mid to late 50s we started getting processed foods, and now today it's all processed foods, and of course they put all kinds of things in there, bromide and aluminum silicates, all kinds of chemicals just to keep things so they'll stay on the shelf longer, but this cuts down on the nutrition. Today we have access to more food probably than any other society in the history of the world, but it's less nutritious than any other society in the history of the world. And as far as the birth rate goes, I really think that the problem is third world countries, because in most of Europe and most of the United States today, I think we are basically down to the 1 to 2 children per family, which is only replicating yourself, which shouldn't be that big a problem. The problem is that we have an influx of third world people, and they don't understand, nor do they want birth control. And so this is why we see the problems that are only beginning now in Europe, and soon we'll be having the same problems here, because where the average American family only has one, perhaps two children per family, we have people coming into this country right now that are having 4 and 8 and 10 and keep going, because that's what they've been taught and conditioned to.
Do you see a situation where we could actually have genocide? I mean, you know, what we're talking about here is situations where we're being slowly sort of killed off and dumbed down with poor education and neurotoxins that are in the foods and chemtrails and things of this nature. But if it's not working fast enough, do you actually see a time where we could be like in a Nazi Germany situation? Because, people talk about all the FEMA camps that are being built, and people think that they're paranoid that we're not going to be put in any FEMA camps or anything like that. But do you see if that actually a population, a possibility? Should people be alarmed or thinking that that could be a possibility, that we could just flat out have genocide in this society?
I hate to say it, but yes, I think that is a possibility, and I think because of the very reason that you said, premising and prefacing your comment, which is, I think they're beginning to realize that their bad food, bad air, bad water is just too slow a process. So they're going back to what Maxwell Taylor talked about, which is warfare. Now they're playing a very delicate game there, and they're walking a real tightrope, because I don't believe these corporate owners and these world bankers, I don't think they really don't want a nuclear holocaust, okay? Because they'd be caught in that, and besides that, it would damage and irradiate, you know, the countryside and the buildings and the very things that they want to use as their infrastructure. So I think they're playing a dangerous game here because they got to make sure that it doesn't stretch into World War III with atomic exchanges and stuff. But short of that, yes, I think they're working. They are. Why do you think that there is such conflict going on in this country today between the Muslims, the Christians, the blacks, you know, the rich, the poor, the class distinctions? They are trying to get us all fighting with each other, and I think that they think that if they could get some sort of civil war going, it would help them along on their depopulation efforts.
What about when you look at weather control? Because one of the things that is talked about in terms of chemtrails is that a lot of that material is up there to help weather control. When there's a machine, the HAARP, with two A's, people aren't familiar with that, is a weather control machine. And people think, oh, it's impossible. But this is technology that is public knowledge. Now, the extent of it is controversial or left up to some conspiracy. But I think there's no doubt that there have been laboratory experiments where you can control weather. And many believe that we have the ability to control weather, cause tornadoes, cause earthquakes, et cetera. And we see more of this happening. Is this a technique to get rid of a lot of people fast?
Yes, I think so. In fact, it's interesting that there was a story in Scientific American, I believe, and I've got it in my files, and this was several years ago, and what a happy article, because they were citing these scientists who were saying, yes, it is now possible to decrease the intensity of a hurricane by bouncing using lasers and bouncing it off the ionosphere, and they can manipulate the hurricane and maybe decrease the intensity. And then by heating the water on either side of the hurricane, they essentially guide it. They can control it, and they said they'll be able to move it away from population centers. Well, that sounds good, except, wait a minute, if they can reduce the intensity of a hurricane and if they can move it away from population centers, then obviously they could increase the intensity of a hurricane and move it into population centers, such as Hurricane Katrina, which was moving slowly towards the northwest through the Gulf of Mexico and suddenly turned 90 degrees and slammed into New Orleans. And just happened to inundate most of the poor sections of that city, which then, of course, it ran all the people out. And then the developers were able to buy up at cheap prices. So I'm not saying that was man-made, but I'm just saying we have the technology.
It makes you wonder. My guest tonight is Jim Mars, jimmars.com. If you want to call in, you can call 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KBC. Jim, another question I want to ask you is, can you explain to the audience about Agenda 21 and what exactly, people have heard that, but maybe they don't understand what that is. Is that a good thing? Because that's the way it's sort of portrayed in the media.
Well, if you look at it very superficially, it sounds like a good thing. Well, it sounds like central planning, you know, your local city zoning commission, you know, except this is done at the level of the United Nations. And they're saying, essentially, that we need to preserve our environment. We need to preserve all the little animals and all the little fish and all the little stuff and all that. All that sounds great. You know, I'm all for that. But when it gets down into the details, then what you find is that they are beginning to put this international control over national entities. In other words, we are losing the sovereignty of the United States of America. And this, of course, is one of the long sought goals of these global elite, globalists, as they call themselves. And they don't want national boundaries. They just want this one world, and they want a one-world socialist system because it sounds good on paper. They will take care of you from cradle to grave. But, of course, what people don't quite realize is is that for a social program to really be effective requires central administration. You've got to have a central power where people say, okay, you're going to do this, and that's what happens. Okay, now once you set up a system like that with a central power, just like the communists did in Russia, then the strong men and the criminals and the thugs and the dictators get hold of the central authority, and then you're in a real problem. And this is the danger of the whole thing. I don't even have personally a philosophical opposition to the idea of one world. I mean, after all, Dr. Smith, we are one world, okay? We're all humans. We all occupy this one planet. I can perfectly well see in the not-too-distant future somebody's going to ask you, hey, where are you from? And you're going to say, I'm from Earth, okay? But the problem is, are we going to go into this one world centralized administration willingly and with our eyes open and with some checks and balances, maybe with a viable constitution, Bill of Rights like we have in the United States? Or are we going to be pushed into a one world government involuntarily by a bunch of elitists who basically want to see most of us dead?
Now, Jim, you again, in your book, you talk about the militarization of police or a police state as a means of control and population control. What exactly do you mean by this? I mean, when we see this on television, that police are getting training in terrorism and things of this nature, it's portrayed as something good because we want our police to be ready for these type of things. Although, as I said many times, you have a better chance of being kicked to death twice by a donkey if you live in this country than being killed by terrorism. But is this, again, just cover for making this a police under one control?
Yes. This is a very conscious plan laid out. In fact, it was actually articulated way back in the early 70s by none other than Wernher von Braun, the Nazi rocket scientist that came over here and helped develop our NASA space program. A friend of mine, Carol Rosen, was head of Fairchild Industries and met and worked on a regular basis with Wernher von Braun. And she said in the early 70s, he said, right now the common enemy is international communism. He said, but when that doesn't work anymore, it'll be international terrorism, probably from the Middle East. And when that doesn't work anymore, it'll probably be a threat from space. Hmm. He said, but it's all phony. None of this is true. And he's absolutely right. If you read my book, The Terror Conspiracy Revisited, you will learn all of the information you need to know to realize that the attacks of 9/11 were an inside job. It was what is commonly known as a false flag operation, and it was done for several different reasons, but mostly to get stampede the United States population into this war on terror, which allows a centralized government to do anything it wants to do, including murder its own citizens in the name of safety and security.
And when you say false flag, what can you tell the audience what that term means? Because we hear that a lot, but most people don't know
what false flag
is.
Well, back in the days of the pirates, if a pirate ship approached a British ship, and a British ship would see them flying the Jolly Roger, they knew they were pirates. And they would start firing on them, and they have a big battle, and it was kind of a toss-up if the pirates would win or not, depending on the strength of the British ship. So what the pirates would do is pull a false flag operation. They would run up a British flag, and the British ship would see the British flag, think they were friendlies, and would allow them to come alongside. And only after they came alongside did they realize it was a pirate ship, and they'd be jumped and generally taken over. So that is what is known as a false flag attack. In other words, basically, it's you are pretending to be attacking from somebody that's actually not doing it, okay? So in the case of 9/11, we were told that these were these 19 Muslim hijackers, although 9 of them turned up alive in the Middle East, and the FBI still hasn't changed their name, so we don't know who they were. We also know that most of them were from Saudi Arabia. None of them were from Afghanistan or Iraq, okay? And yet, immediately, we invaded Afghanistan in the fall of 2001, supposedly looking for Osama bin Laden, and we didn't find him. And then we invaded Iraq, looking for those weapons of mass destruction, which weren't there. And so we've just been lied to right down the line. And in fact, if you go back and look at every major publicized terrorist event in this country since 9/11, you'll find that at the heart of it is always a FBI informant or a CIA infiltrator. And these things are they're set up. They are set up. You find some poor idiots and you talk them into, let's go bomb something. And they go, yeah, okay. And, hey, we'll pay you a lot of money. Okay. And then you turn them in. And then everybody looks good because they look like they're fighting terrorism and they get their budgets increased. The informants make lots of money. Everybody's happy, and including the public who thinks they've been saved from terrorism.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where when these things, any of these shootings that happen, you have to take it with a grain of salt because we learn in within hours or a few days of all kinds of inconsistencies that's been reported, and then it's a shame because you don't know anymore what's real or what stage, whether you look at Sandy Hook or 9/11 or even the most recent thing here in California that took place. Jim, we only have a few minutes left, and I just want to say a couple things that make sure people know how to find you. It's jimmars.com. That's Jim, J-I-M, another M-A-R-R-S.com, two R's. You're going to be speaking at the Contact in the Desert, June 3rd through June 6th. I encourage everyone to go there. It's about Joshua Tree, California, which is about 30 minutes or so away from Palm Springs. What are you going to be talking about at Contact in the Desert?
Well, I'm going to be giving a free lecture on the Army's remote viewing program, which was a psychic program that they actually studied, experimented with, and perfected and used operationally. And I think it was a major factor in ending the Cold War because it ended the secrecy. And then I'm giving a workshop on what I call hidden history. And I'm going to tell people all of the background, including some of the things we've talked about tonight, going all the way back and showing how throughout our history, history is written by the victors. Whoever wins writes the history. So there's a lot of history that we think we know and we don't actually know. So I'm going to fill in some of the blanks.
That's great. And I encourage everybody to get this book. When I started reading it, I was just amazed at how dense it is in terms of the research and all these things. I mean, when you look just at the table of contents here, and one thing, in just a minute, can you just explain, because you have something that says the Deadly God Syndicate. Can you just tell the...
the God Syndicate, yeah. Right. Well, that's guns, oil, drugs, the three largest money-making commodities in the world, and all three are tremendously controlled by these handful of wealthy bankers and globalists and industrialists that are trying to kill us, and they're doing that a good job. And they're doing it through guns. And what's ironic about guns is that if you'll read my book, you'll find that the United States is the largest gun runner in the world. Over the past several years, we have supplied 78% of the arms that are being used in the world today come from the United States. Less than 8% come from Russia and China. So we're the big arms dealer. And
less
yet, while we're selling arms
combined?
To the rest of the world, they're trying to take arms away from us here in our own country, right?
So you're saying only 8% from China and Russia combined?
Yeah. Wow. 5% from Russia, 3% from China.
That's amazing. Well,
it is amazing. And that's not conspiracy theory. That is based on congressional reports.
That's fact. That is fact.
We're selling arms to everybody.
Well, Jim, listen, I appreciate you staying up late with us tonight. Thanks for coming on. We're going to definitely have to have you back on for a couple hours next time. Jim, thank you. Have a great night.
Sounds great. Hope to see you at Contact in the Desert.
Yes, I will be there. And that was Jim Mars. Go to his website, jimmars.com. That's JIMMARRS.com. This guy has written so many great books. I mean, the book on JFK is amazing. And again, that was the film JFK that Oliver Stone did based on that book. His newest book, Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us, it is really a synopsis of all the bad things that's sort of happening in our society, whether you're talking about the GMOs, vaccines, chemtrails, etc., check out that book. I will be at Contact at the Desert, and if you want to be there too, go to drgregorysmith.com. That's drgregorysmith.com, drgregorysmith.com, and you can win a free three-day pass to Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree. Listen, I will be back next Saturday night giving you more truth. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and I will see you next Saturday night.
This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.